okay. I was just checking. I wasn't sure. Just kidding. Sorry, Chris. That was just too good. What a great morning of worship. Amen? Oh, it's so good to come to the Lord's house and to praise His name. I totally forget what I was going to say next. It's said that there are really only three kinds of memory, good, bad, and convenient. And I've got all three, I think. I've always liked the story about the three ladies. They were widows, and they lived together. And I've loved this story. One sister is going up to go to bed, and halfway up the stairs, she stops, and she goes, was I going up or was I coming down? And her other sister replied with a hint of aggravation. She said, you were going up to bed. And a second sister was heading into the kitchen to make herself a sandwich before going to bed. And once in the kitchen, she hollered back to her sister, who is still downstairs. She said, what did I come in here for? And the sister responded again with a trace of irritation. She said, you went in to make yourself a sandwich. And after which she said, I'm so glad I'm not as forgetful as the both of you are. And she knocked on the end table. She got up and she walked over to the door and she said, I'll get it. Always love that story. Because that's me. I mean, that really is me. Did you know that we can forget? Did you know? And from my experience, I've concluded that forgetfulness is not a respecter of age. Remembrance Day is that moment in our year where we remember. Where we remember our freedom. Where we remember those who fought for a country so that we could freely worship Jesus Christ. Praise God for our freedom. The peace and blessing of God will ultimately reign. Amen? And to admit, I'm often asked this question, well, how can I seek peace when my life is so discouraging, when I am in a battle in my life? So we're going to do something interesting over these next couple of Sundays. We're actually only going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're into remembrance this week, and so we need to seek peace. To seek peace. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm gonna start at verse 8 of 1 Peter 3. It comes right after James, and which is after Hebrews. And if you've gone to 2 Peter, you've gone too far. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 8. Great passage of Scripture. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. May God add his blessing to his word today. To seek peace is to seek to speak well. Seek to speak well. Boy, say that seven times fast. Turn upside down. But you couldn't do it. Seek to speak well. See, life can be peaceful when I quit assuming. I think we probably spend the greatest amount of our time thinking and discussing what others are thinking and discussing, and that's disgusting. That's what assumptions do. Too often we paralyze ourselves. I mean, Jesus promised us, he said, "My peace I leave with you." You've got it. I've given it to you. And so we paralyze ourselves from that peace by talking, by assuming, by thinking about people, things that are not true. We assume. And we assume. And we assume that if only, we play that game so well. I mean, I read something interesting from Psychology Today. Yeah, I do read Psychology Today. 70% of all the patients who visit the doctor could cure themselves if they would just get rid of their worry and fear. I'm not going to ask the doctors here if that's true, but Psychology Today says it. Without a doubt, one of the greatest deterrents to the simple life is forgetting who God is and lacking trust in him and assuming our way through life. And I should know, because I took up worrying at an early age. And I carry it very well. Thank you very much. I do. You all worry too. You know what I'm talking about. I remember one day I was hanging out with my older brother, and we had a busy day. I'd catch grasshoppers, and he would borrow my glasses and burn their eyes out. You know the pleasure that comes from being a kid. You know, you could do that as a kid. As an adult, you progress to this. So, and he didn't want to give my glasses back. I mean, he was just, you know, and he's much taller than me at the time. I outgrew him. But at the time, he was much taller and, you know, teasing me and calling me names. You know, like, "Hey, tiny little Devin," you know. Calling me names, like Devin. It was sickening. And so I didn't say a word. I stood up with tears just starting to form in my eyes, and I walked in the house and I said, "Mommy, I want some 7-Up. Remember those tantrums I talked about last week? I was having one of those. "I want some 7-Up. And she mumbled. I'm sure she said no or something. So I did what I could do. Went to my room, took my bamboo stick that I had and my cowboy bandana, and I packed my things. And I came out of my room and I was carrying, "This is just sad story. I don't even have any Kleenex." And I was carrying it on my back, and my teddy bear's arms were kind of out of the bandana. You know, so I'm walking. I'm saying to my mom, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. It's over." And my mom goes, "Oh, just a minute. George, Devin's leaving again." And so they walked out with me and watched me walk away with luggage on my shoulder. I couldn't believe nobody stopped me. I walked and I walked. I made my way around the corner and was crying as I went. I turned around and I thought to myself, I walked all the way back wondering why everybody hated me so. And as I came up the driveway, there's my mom and dad still standing there. And I said, "I forgot my 7-Up. And you know, I got to let you in a little secret. My mother mumbled, "There's no 7-Up. Of the ginger ale." My brother called me little tiny Devin because he loved me, he said. Yeah. Got sent to his room, but it was okay. My parents stood out waving goodbye because they thought I was just doing my regular dramatic role-playing. I mean, I'm usually not dramatic, but role-playing as a hobo heading off to the promised land, you know? And I tell you, my life was anything but peaceful for those few minutes of assuming. Assumption gets us nowhere except worry, fear, self-avail, lack of self-worth. Certainly doesn't give us peace. Small things have big shadows when you assume. And so we paralyze ourselves from ministry by the art of assuming. We get hurt and we no longer want to minister. That's sad. I know assuming is not what it's cracked up to be. It hurts me when I assume. It doesn't affect anyone else. Actually, it does. I take that back. When I'm absorbed in my assumptions, it affects those who are closest to me because they become the brunt of my war inside. Look inside yourself today. Talk to the inventor of your life, the one who created you. What is God telling you to do? Are you assuming many unfound things? Are you at war right within your very own soul? And you want nothing more than peace? You can have it today by remembering who is Lord. Well, to seek peace is to seek to speak well. It's also seek to serve well. If you look at verse 13, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, Christ is Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. It had only a few people. Eight in all were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Ah, God's word. You know, you can be at peace when you seek to serve well, when you seek to do good. Life can be peaceful when we begin doing what we were created to do. We were created to serve God, to love him, to worship him. Jesus, our model, typified service to his Father, doing good. He truly laid down his life in service. And I'm glad he did. There's nothing more than serving my Lord. It's the greatest achievement in this world. When you serve the Lord, you serve others. You serve your family. You care about them. You love them. Jesus teaches us both by his life, his words, that humility and servanthood characterize true leaders in his kingdom. We're all leaders for his kingdom when we do what we were created to do. And I'm not talking about sitting on a board of the church or sitting on a team. I mean doing something for Jesus. Leaving a legacy of more people who desire nothing than to be more like him. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "The great thing in this world is not so much where we are, but in what direction we're moving." How are you moving? What direction are you going? Where are you headed? It's all about God, my friends. And if it isn't, then peace, the peace that we need, is distant. You know, I think of all the people who has been influenced by people who love Jesus enough to seek to do good. I think of all the people who've been influenced, just even in this church, for the kingdom of God, simply by those who seek to serve God. How are you influencing people for the kingdom of God? What are you presently doing that leaves a legacy to your neighbors, to your friends, your relatives? Do they see Jesus in you? Are you seeking peace? This is what this passage reflects. If we truly were an honest people, we tend to forget about God, and our own selves get in the way, because we begin to trust in our own worry. We trust in our own assumptions instead of trusting in God. Let me tell you, there are days I wonder how we use our influence. Everything that we do, every ounce of our energy needs to be about God. And there are days I wake up and I go, "Oh God, not today. I don't think I can do it." And he says, "Oh yeah, you can. Because even in your weakness, I will show my strength." See, our job, our resources, our very being needs to be about God. That's what the foundation of this ministry has been all about. Let me tell you, it will continue to be about him. Look at verse 18. "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." To bring you to God. Jesus gave his life so that you could experience eternal life. So you could experience freedom. Our Lord Jesus was crucified after being tried and ridiculed. Our Lord Jesus was crucified horribly. They placed him in a tomb. They shut the door. Sound familiar to have a door shut? They shut the door. But then listen. Can you hear it? Listen closely. You can hear a sound, a rumble. And then you see the door is open. And the victory is achieved. "My peace I leave with you," Jesus said. That's the God we serve. The one who takes a closed tomb and opens it to victory. That's our God. We can never forget him, but rather, more than ever, we need to focus on him. That's the call of Remembrance Day. It's the call to peace. You do not know peace unless there's a war that rages. Then you know peace. The peace within your soul. It's a call to remember those who served valiantly for the freedom we enjoy to walk in this land, to worship our God daily. I'm sure there were times when soldiers walked and wondered, just like Moses, "God, please send someone else to do this. I don't know." But those troops went and fought for freedom. Our God continually calls us to battle in the same way for peace. What's our response? God, please send someone else to do this. Please send someone else to do the battle. God says, no. You must do this battle. You must battle what rages within you. Because then you will understand my power even more. Because then you will know my peace that I've left for you. Lean on God. Trust Him. And if you don't believe me, ask a veteran. I'm sure there are some here this morning. They can tell you the battle's never easy. But the freedom is worth fighting for. I'm going to ask that we bow our heads in a moment of just silence to think of the battle that was waged on a cross, that Jesus battled there for your sin. It was the most difficult battle this world has ever known. And yet Jesus hung there. Jesus went through what you needed to go through so that he could bring you, so that you could be drawn closer to God. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to take a moment of silence, of solitude. Thank God that we can remember that battle. But more than that, thank God for those who fought so we could sit here and praise him today, who served him for good. God, thank you for your son. God, thank you that you have shown us that it's never going to harm if we're eager to do good. Thank you, Lord, that time and time and time again we reflect upon who you are, and we know that you give us peace. Thank you, Lord, for those who have fought in battle. Lord, not just those who fought in the field of battle, but we thank you for them. We would not be sitting here if it was not for them, those men and women who fought for our country and for freedom. But God, thank you that we can come to you, our great warrior, the one who has given us peace, left it with us. And as the battle rages within, Lord, we can remember who you are. We're grateful for your peace. Lord, we're grateful that we can remember today, not just as we come to this cross and pin poppies, knowing that it was on the cross the greatest battle was ever achieved, ever fought. But we can also partake at the table and remember God, the battle body that was broken, the blood that was shed for us, all out of love. For that we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with the one.